I want to share and talk about some things that have been lighting up a little more brightly for me. And let me, just because we spent some time in this in looking at Isaiah 61 and that progression, let me just locate what I want to talk about this morning in that. Okay. If you remember, we talked about the fact that in this first verse there is a progression of what the Lord announces. The first thing, the primary thing, the very first thing we need to know is the good news, that God comes to get us, that He covers all the separation, all the sin that prevents us from hearing and receiving from Him. You know, that is definitely, absolutely the foundation. Then he starts into issues. He starts into the whole thing of dealing with our issues. We have a broken condition of heart that he wants to deal with. And because of that brokenness, we have issues of captivity. The nature of the brokenness of our heart holds us in captivity from his perspective. We do not view it that way. We view it as wonderful protections, best friends, you know, something, you know, you keep in place at all cost. He views it as prisons and a loss of liberty. Well, and then, you know, there's the progression of letting some of those things be lit up enough for him to make exchanges for them. And, you know, just to repeat that the people that you minister to have to have an exchange. Don't ever try to get somebody to give up what they're depending on without seeing from the Lord a better option. You know, we give it up because it's lit up for the limitation that it is, and God brings such a better option, you know. one of the chief factors and difficulties, I believe, in getting us through this whole progression and into the place where we can rebuild the old ruins and we are a manifestation of the presence and power of God, is the whole issue of hiding. That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. And yeah, and we can't talk about the issue of addressing the hiding of others without bumping into our own. There's no way, you know. And it is a universal issue, our most difficult, I would say. I noticed this on Tuesday night. We were talking about this element. It is an element of the fall. You know, they end up hiding from the Lord. And, you know, they're hiding physically and emotionally. Where are you? Well, I'll shut the door or something. They're hiding physically, they're hiding emotionally, and they're hiding in a very confused and protected condition. Now that's tricky, isn't it? See, we're in not a good condition, and we're hiding out there. You see what I'm saying? That's gonna be a lot of what happens with the people that you listen to too. They're not, you know, there's some difficulties and issues and prisons going on inside, and they are hidden from you, from the Lord, and sometimes from ourselves. You know, this is the problem with being in hiding. I noticed on Tuesday night. I think pretty much everybody in this room has bumped into this and worked with it some, and it's probably fair to say that everyone knows there's more. You know. Because it's an extensive issue for us and everyone else, you know. But I was noticing on Tuesday night. Huh?
working.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, when you start taking the lid off whatever we have stored away in our heart, we have no idea where the bottom is. We know we keep pulling things out, but we have really no idea where the bottom is. And so it's very questionable for us to pronounce it done. You know, just it's just like the kingdom. We have no idea what all is involved in walking and living in that and seeing it, you know, seeing it manifest in our lives. We have no idea what all of that would look like. So you can't pronounce it happening. You know, in process, yes, but, you know. But on Tuesday night, I started talking about some of these things, and in the group that is meeting this time, it's made up mostly of people who don't have experience of anything we're talking about. And so, you know, a number of the responses are when I start talking about hiding. What do you mean hiding? You know, there's a level at which there's an awareness that that we have protections that hide away certain things that need to be hidden away because it's not a good idea to share them, and that's a good thing. And you can agree with that and not. See, it's not a place we want to end up having to hide. It needs to be at least a choice. You know, not something that's automatic. But here's my point. When you start talking about certain of these things, you may get from people a pretty blank look. Yeah? I mean, like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And the reason for that is the things that we've hidden away become not known to us. And you're going to find that is one of the greatest barriers. See, you can talk to people and you can actually hear hints of what's hidden, but they cannot. And so when you take a hold of some of those, a couple of things will happen. One, it won't feel real to them, and the other is they may resist or defend or deny that there's anything remotely like that going on in their life, you know. Did the Pharisees do that with Jesus? It's not just the Pharisees. I mean, they're established in their position, and that makes it harder and everything. But we are actually all in hiding. And I don't know if you've if you've had this experience with the Lord, but there are a number of times when He starts lighting up things that I have in hiding, and forgot I put in hiding. My first response is not, "Oh, thank you so much, Lord." It is irritation. Avoidance. I'm out of here. I all of a sudden just have to have a cup of tea. I gotta go do something. I gotta go to the store. I need to wash clothes. That's not our first response. It's not great appreciation. And you're gonna see this. And if you read it as they're not interested, they don't like me, they don't want to hear me, they don't want to, you know. That's where it'll end. It'll end at the resistance winning and the hiding staying in place, and that's that. Are you following me? Okay. I think the reason I'm talking about this today, there's a number of reasons. One is that I think this is the more difficult area that, when people are thinking of doing connecting prayer type work, this is one of the reasons why we're concerned or uncomfortable about pursuing it. Because if we bump into that kind of response, what will we do? What will we do? See, have you experienced this with folks, you know? They just don't think it makes any sense. And why would we come out of hiding anyway? Why would we? If it's if it's manageable and it's not too painful and all, why would we?
But it's always painful.
Hmm?
It's generally always painful.
It becomes painful. It becomes painful. I think it is always loss. It is always loss. It always produces loss. And it becomes painful. And that juncture is where people become more motivated, I think, the painful place, when they start experiencing it as painful and don't understand exactly why or whatever, you know. Yeah. But whether we are at the point where we experience it as painful, that is, it is in some way becoming destructive in our lives or impacting our relationships or preventing us from really coming into the place we want to be with the Lord, and hiding always will, whether it has gotten to that point or not, the fact is, all along the way, we are losing our life. We are losing the vitality and energy and empowering of God and the whole promise of our inheritance if we stay in hiding. He is very much against that. He will contend with us over that however long it takes, you know. And we will contend with him, I would say, as long as we can tolerate it. Which is a key to what you're going to be doing with people, you know. I don't argue with people anymore much, in case I've argued with any of you. I usually say, when they identify their position, is that working for you? How is that working for you? And most of the time we don't really think too much about how the hiding is working. It's managing things. And we don't necessarily take the step of thinking, is this blessing me or anyone? You know, is it really working, you know? Because unless there's an awareness that it's uncomfortable enough to invest in, it's not gonna change that much. Coming out of hiding is actually very difficult for us. You know, it's very difficult. It's also very freeing once you get into the new place. You know, it's very freeing. And I think that we kind of all experience that. You know, in kind of a progression of healing, you struggle with the step you're taking, but as the Lord gets you through that particular knothole, it says, oh man, there is space out here, there is life, there is possibility. And we are actually talking about working with those places of hiding alongside somebody so that they learn to move through this whole progression with the Lord and come into some kind of experience of who he has created us to be. These trees of righteousness, these folks who can impact and influence and turn around the desolations, you know. I've been feeling recently that, and I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but it's part of this hiding issue for me, I think, you know, potentially. I've been feeling that I'm a little too restrained in the structure of PCM. Now, I'm not nearly as restrained in the structure of PCM as I have been in some church structures, but I am more restrained than I want to be in that the only people that I can actually talk to and really have the opportunity to influence in some of these ways are those who come for classes or counseling. Well, by the time someone does either, things have gotten rather costly. And, you know, my feeling is that if I were in some situations where I could just speak into things more and had kind of had the time to pursue that, you know, I could save people years. I just very honestly feel that, you know. So I'm looking at how I can just start striking up some conversations with people at church and pursuing them. Well, however, I can't really afford that, you know, because I have to make a living too, you know. So I don't know. I'm praying about that. But But see, there's a, you know, there's a progression, because I've been perfectly content at PCM, but now I'm not. You know, I mean, there are people out there who aren't ever going to come here. But they are looking. You know, a couple, several Sunday mornings ago, at the end of the sermon, the pastor asked for people. He was talking about some of these issues, actually, that we are in pain and we tend to hide that and minimize it and stuff, rather than getting it, trying to get it to the Lord. So he asked people who had some pain in their lives that they wanted prayer for to stand up. And someone right in front of me stood up, that I don't know at all. I don't even know her name. I don't know her at all, you know. But actually there were about three people around me that, you know, that stood up, but she was the closest one and the one I felt prompted to pray for. And sure enough, in what the issue was, it was basically going into a business situation that she started herself, all excited about, you know, how we have vision and everything, and it's a Christian business kind of thing, and beginning to get her brains beat out there by other Christians, and throwing up her hands and saying, what in the world, what are we doing here? Well, actually, it's basically an approval issue. If you have to make everybody happy, you're going to get your brains beat out anywhere, because it's just not even possible, you know. Well, so we prayed about that, and the Lord really touched her. But that's going to be a temporary thing, most likely, unless it's pursued. See what I'm saying? You know, and I think that's actually what this group is about. You know, more and more people, and the one out there too, more and more people out there intercepting folks, in some way. You know. So they don't have to get all the way down the trail till they're in such pain that they, you know, that they come someplace in despair. I mean, if it comes to that, it's very motivating. You know, desperation is a very motivating thing. I can't stand this anymore, and I've got to do something about it. That's a motivating thing. You know, but I believe the Lord wants us to get to a place where we learn by word. You know, we learn by His Word and it penetrating and getting through to our heart and exchanging and filling and stuff, not by circumstances that are so miserable that we will break through, you know. And sooner the better that we get to that place where we can learn by Word, okay. So I'm talking, I think we really need to get a handle on how to get a person from a place where they don't understand why their relationship with the Lord is somewhat empty, to over to being able to realize that the things that are in hiding are the problem. See, the question for people is God absent and at a distance and not listening and not present or involved, or am I in hiding? What is it? Is God absent or am I in hiding? Well, it's a hard question for people to answer, because we don't think we're seriously in hiding. And the reason we think that is because we can understand and say all kinds of things, and we know the theology, and we agree with that and everything, and don't know that there's a difference between what's going on in our head and where our heart is. We don't know. People do not know that there's a difference. So part of the question is, how do you get them to experience and realize that there's a difference, and then care about their heart? Care about what is really going on there. I got an email from somebody this morning who's, starting to look at some of these things. We have been fighting through some very strong protections and fears for almost a year, probably. And this person last week got to the place of being able to be at the feet of Jesus, which is just amazing, you know. But her heart is full of shame, and she can't look up. Her head is saying, just look at him. You know, he's this, he's that, you know, convincing her heart. And feeling that her heart is being stubborn. No, scared to death, expecting to be rejected, full of feelings of shame and, you know, can't conceive of anything else. But courageous as can be to be at the feet of Jesus with those beliefs intact. And that's the kind of communication that needs to get through to her heart. You are doing great. You know? Not, why are you being so stubborn? Those are the messages that caused the shame in the first place. You know? Misrepresenting our heart and our motives and our efforts and calling them not enough, not okay. Those are the struggles. So I wrote back to her this morning and I said, I want you to have as much compassion on your heart as all the people around you had criticalness and judgment and anger toward you. See how that works? Because she asked for, what do I do? What do I do here? See, and part of what's going on is that the that attitude toward her heart, you know, calling see, this is the thing, we can, with our funny ideas and conditions and stuff, we can be calling courage stubbornness very easily and believe it. If somebody doesn't come along who can call that courage and say, wait a minute, what are you saying? Look at what's going on here. The criticalness is going to prevail, and the hiding will stay intact. Because, you know, we cannot emotionally come out when there is no safety to come out in. That is just not going to happen. And what I'm saying to you is that the person themselves is not safe sometimes. Not safe with themselves, you know. So there's going to have to be somebody to bring some perspective about the value and the significance and the courage of risking emotionally and coming out and beginning to say. Now, here's what's at stake in these issues that I'm talking about. First of all, are you with me? Yeah? Okay. Here's what's at stake. Individuals finding their way into the promise and the inheritance and the fullness and the empowering of God as a person. The restoration of us individually is at stake. Because these things have to happen or we cannot get there. I don't question that anymore. I've seen it confirmed over and over and over again for years. They have to happen or we are not going to be freed and be able to really flow with the Lord. That's one level. If that level doesn't happen, the church will not be a safe place. That's the reality. It will not be a safe place. And it will not be a place where the brokenhearted part can be done. So we will have a congregation, we will have a congregating of people in hiding and all agreeing to stay there. You see that? And with theologies that kind of sanctify it. And that's the way the elements of the fall are. See, we're all subject to them, so we all agree. No wonder the Lord says, we looked at, you know, one of the passages we looked at recently in Isaiah 42, when he starts identifying the problem with the blessing he's trying to pour out is that we're stuck. We're in caves, we're hiding, you know. No wonder he says, who will say, restore? Who will? When you start saying restore into the face of all of this, does that make you really popular? See, we hate coming out of hiding. That is the reality. We hate it. And so I think you have to come to terms with that and see yourself more as a as a partner with God in dealing with those realities, whatever that looks like. And, you know, and learning to pursue it in the way that he does, so that we don't give up on the restoration and the healing and the freedom that he wants to give, but we don't get bombed by the reactions either. I would call that a maturity issue. You know, where we're secure enough in the Lord that we can address these things in a compassionate and patient and progressive way with folks, and when they bristle, don't get knocked out. Even if the bristling comes from some influential quarters, I can almost assure you that you'll get tested in that eventually if you keep going. You know. Now, before you get discouraged in that, I want to say that if we let the Lord bring us to such a place, is that liberty or what? Yeah. But see, these are the folks who can rebuild the old. You know, they can deal with the desolations. They can speak into them. They can turn them around. They can bring recovery. Okay, I want to give some time to discuss this, but let me share some things that have happened for me personally just lately that really light this up even more. Both the personal level that it's just going to have to happen if the church as a whole is going to be the kind of place that the Lord really wants it to be, I think. What that is, you know, what the church needs to look like in that way, you know, the body of Christ. I mean, the church is us. You know, it's not a place; it's us, and the condition that we have allowed God to bring us into with Him. You know. I think it was just last Sunday. The pastor at my church was preaching on worship and on some freedom in that, and he told a really humorous story. Actually, he was driving out to Las Vegas to meet with some folks kind of midway. That there's a bunch of folks gonna undertake a trip to Africa in August, and they're, you know, just planning stuff going on. So he's driving out there, and some folks in the congregation had given him a CD by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, a 2-CD set, and he was listening to one of the songs on there, and he used this as an example. So he got a chair and sat down like he's driving, and then this song came on. And the song is Days of Elijah, you know. And, you know, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir can get into it. They're folks, you know, that choir is made up of a lot of folks saved off the street, turned around lives. I mean, tremendously touched and very grateful, you know. So there's a tremendous response that goes with that, you know. So he's driving along with a song right in the back and demonstrating what he was up to while that was happening, you know. He said, raising his hands and waving to the Lord. And so he's, it continues because it builds, you know. So did his worship, you know. Well, he ended up with a police officer behind him saying, pull over, you know. And he was unaware of it because he had really cranked it up, you know. And I don't think he was speeding, but he was in the way because he was on the way to an accident or whatever, you know. But anyway, when he was playing that song, he said, "Oh, I love that song, and I don't even have it. So I'm going to, you know." I thought, I'll get that tape because I like that. You know, that was a very powerful version of that song. And I got it. I was, I put it on. I was starting to play it. Now, I've been talking to the Lord about two things lately, and I mentioned one of them here and asked for prayer either last month or months before about the filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit and release of the Holy Spirit. So I've been praying about that, you know, and the way I see it is the Spirit of God filling the temple, us, that belongs to Him. You know, that's what it says. Do you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the degree to which He wants to do that, you know. So I've been asking the Lord about that. Fill this house, you know. And I am looking for a house. I have to move, and I'm looking for a house. And I have said to the Lord, when that happens, and whatever that is supposed to look like, I want to be being about Your purposes. I want to know what You are doing next. What is that supposed to look like? You know. So I'm listening to this CD and waiting for my song to come, you know, which is the last song on there. But song number 4, which is the title song of the thing, is called "This Is Your House." And the first line says, "This is your house, Father, come and dwell." Man, I heard that, and I was instantly in tears. Because on both counts, see, that's what I'm praying for. But what I heard as the song went along is, because it's being sung about the church. You know, I mean, it's a statement of that particular group about that church. Father, this is your house. Come and dwell here. You know, they're praying about the whole sanctuary and stuff. Now, the guy who is singing the song also wrote it and was saved there. Probably in a heap when he began. Now he has written this song under the influence of the Spirit of God and is standing before a very large congregation singing it. The tremendous statement of the power of God. Well, see, those things don't happen unless we're able to be very real, unless the church is able to be very real and quite safe and can release the Spirit of God. You know, that's what we're talking about here. We've got to come out of hiding. There is no other way. And we're going to have to attend and be rather compassionate with each other in that process, because it's a very difficult one and we don't want to go. You know? All right. I brought this song this morning, and I want to play it for you. And song number four. And we can then we'll talk. But I have to have you know the rest of the story so you get my point.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think we need to get to the place where we're as clear on the goal and outcome and the power of it as we are on the difficulty, you know, of getting there, so that we can invest appropriately. And know that that the Lord is very much committed to his house looking kind of like that. It's still on. We're at the point now of wanting to discuss, though, I think. Although I tell you, the Lord has a sense of humor. I'll just finish this. Last Sunday during worship, before all this happened, and later in the day I heard the song and everything, I got a word that morning, which I didn't give. And, I was considering it at the point at which it would have, you know, fit, and there was a place in worship and everything. I was kind of weighing it, but I didn't actually say it. And then, the time passes, and you have this mixed feeling, oh, phew. And coward, it's kind of a mixed response there, you know. When are you ever gonna? But anyway, I was looking at that the next morning and asking the Lord about it, you know, and really kind of inquiring of my heart about it, because that's a hiding issue, isn't it? Yeah. Lord gives you a word, you're clear, that's him. If you start talking, it's gonna go. And if you don't, that's a hiding issue, you know. And this was Monday morning, Tuesday night, I'm teaching on hiding. I said, oh, Lord, you know, you do this to me all the time. It's just... But anyway, what it was about is a belief in my heart that I was a little bit surprised to find it there. And yet, it explains things, and not totally surprised. Because I'm not as surprisable as I used to be, because... Round after round, you get to realize that the Lord is going to show you something you don't see, you know. But it was that if you keep talking, see, I've been bringing some words and stuff at this church. That the belief in my heart is if you keep talking, they're going to get annoyed. Because you bump into this territory, and they're going to get annoyed, and in some way or another, they'll disappear, you know. And that's happened to me, you know. People have gotten uncomfortable or whatever, you know. First they talk to each other, and then they talk to the leadership, and then nobody's talking to me. And it doesn't get resolved, you know. It could be resolved if there was any discussion, but it doesn't get talked about. And, you know, it's difficult to convince your heart to come out of hiding when it's right. Been right, you know. It's really true. But where I came out was that I'm probably going to go talk to the pastor and his wife and say just you know, that's what happened. I see why, you know. So what I need to be more responsive, and they're very open to that. They are trying to get people to move with the Spirit of God, you know, which is my heart, ironically. So I'm going to go talk to them and let them know that. You know, if I do take them up on that, you know, and exercise that kind of freedom, I will always be talking about this juncture that we're talking about here, this movement from the proclamation of the gospel to the healing and restoration and addressing brokenness issues and stuff, and that could get uncomfortable. But no matter what I'm involved in or what you call me or what title I have or position I'm in, that's what I've always done. Because I'm called to that, you know, and there's a way in which I can't do anything else, you know. But what I need to know is that if that gets uncomfortable for someone, first of all, are you open? Are you open to this? And if it gets uncomfortable for people, are we going to talk about it? You know, are we going to resolve it? Are we going to... You know, be real honest with each other about what's going on, and just, you know, just work it out. You know. So I will probably have that conversation with them. But you know, the issue of whether or not I'm going to have you know, that kind of freedom and boldness is really my issue. It's actually my issue. So I can talk to them about it, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, you know, really answer that for me. I'm just telling them what I need, you know. But it's my issue whether I'm going to, you know, really come out or not. So, and then last night, I was going to get together with my daughter and her kids and stuff for dinner, and we had planned to meet this place. She calls me up and says, "Do you want to meet Ted and Julie and Ted and Judy for dinner? What's the pastor and his wife?" So I said, "Well, yeah, okay," because I haven't called them yet. I'll talk to him in the morning and set up a time. But I just think the Lord is too funny, you know. But see, he's serious about these issues, isn't he? You know, he's serious about getting us where he wants us to be. So, all right. Now, do you want me to just turn the tape off for our discussion part? Maybe I should, because if we